This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome to a new edition of the Cards Cast. I'm Cardinal Authority Senior Writer Michael McCama, joined by publisher Jody Demling. Plenty to talk about as Louisville coming off their huge win against 10th-ranked Notre Dame, 6-0 in the country, or 6-0 on the season, climbing up in the national polls, looking to go 7-0 this weekend at Pittsburgh, and what's probably going to be kind of be an ugly weather day up there in Pittsburgh. Plus, we got basketball starting. The red-white scrimmage is tonight. Louisville women's basketball pulling in a big recruit as well. So let's talk about it all. Jody, where should we start? I mean, we're starting to get to crossover season here.
Yeah, we are definitely. And I keep looking at the weather forecast. It keeps getting worse as the week goes on. So it's pretty nasty, it seems like, in Pitt. I love this time of year. There's so much going on. There's so many things. You know, we've got media days coming up for basketball. We do have an open week for football coming up after this week, so we get a little bit of a break in that. But we've got the red-white scrimmage. We've got exhibitions. The women are just back from their trip. Hey, the baseball team's on a trip to the Dominican Republic, or just got back. So there's so many things going on this time of the year. I do love it for that. As far as football is concerned, I mean, Michael, I still think back to last week, and I was watching the tail of the tape thing that they did, that they put out on social media, and just watching that and just thinking back to, I mean, it's unbelievable how in the world this whole thing kind of came together last week. You often have, I was on a national radio show and we were talking about it. It's like, you often have, it looks like everything's coming together, and then the team doesn't play well. How many times have we had that, to where you had the crowd, you had the energy, the excitement, and the team just didn't follow through? Well, not only did the team follow through this time, but they followed through and even more. So I just think that sets excitement up for the rest of the year. I mean, it doesn't mean much because it's only six games, but you're bowl eligible, which is nice to no matter what happens the rest of the year. You're going to get an extra game, so that's always nice to see. And you're getting the national attention now, so I think that win really made this week a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, what a night it was. As you mentioned, you know, the stage was set for an electric night, and as you mentioned, the team came through on it. And we're talking, you know, a huge group of recruits, a record crowd at LNN Stadium, you know, offensively, defensively, special teams. None of them were perfect, but certainly put together their best performance of the season to really, you know, in the second half, just kind of control Notre Dame in a game that wasn't as close as the final score, presented. But when you look at the performances that we saw on both sides of the ball, it was just one big play after another, and just fed that sold out crowd. I mean, it was just a roaring atmosphere the whole time. I've had to go to my game, to the replay a couple of times just to, not just watch the game, but kind of, you know, because when you're in the press box, you're behind closed glass and you don't get to feel the same energy. And when you're at the game, you don't see what the stadium, how it's coming across on television. So it's been, you know, quite enjoyable to go back and watch both the performance, but also to just kind of soak in what the environment was like on television with, you know, obviously the celebrities, you know, all over the place, getting plenty of game time as well as celebration time coverage. You know, talking to recruits about how they joined in the rushing of the field afterwards. I mean, and that's a moment that you're not going to forget as a recruit. May not mean you're going to commit there, but it certainly helps Louisville in their favor when they're looking at these kids Just a grand slam to steal from another sport that football pulled off against Notre Dame on Saturday night.
Yeah, and like I said, moving forward, I mean, that's beyond us now. And as Coach Brohm said on Monday, it's back to work time for the team. Yep. But, you know, moving forward, I think the one thing I think that people get lost in this whole you always talk about Jeff Brohm. Everybody talks about the passing, you know, throwing the ball around and the trick plays and all that kind of stuff. Well, that to me has been what's been so impressive with this group and this team is they've used some trick plays. Yes, the other night they didn't have to do any trickeration. They just lined it up and ran it down Notre Dame's throat. They've used some trick plays and they've done the passing, but it's not been that. It's been balance. It's been the running game. It's been the offensive line. And it's been the defense. That's the thing is what's different. And I think what does excite me about the rest of the season and with the schedule that's in front, the schedule that's in front of them, that's what excites me is that it's been about the defense and it's been about the running game. It's not been about the stuff yet that Jeff Brohm is known for.
Yeah. You know, and that's, you bring up a great point about how it's been for the defense, because if we rewind the clock in both sides of the field, really, but especially on the defense, I mean, the improvements that they have made. And one thing that we've heard consistently from Jeff Brohm, you know, whether, you know, it was defensive lapses at Georgia Tech or whatever the game may have been, but throughout, you know, following each game, basically, you know, there's always been a comment of like, that's on us as coaches. We need to prepare our players better, put them in better situations. We need to look and see where we can improve in certain things that we're scheming. And you've seen that come to fruition with each passing game. I mean, the defense looks like, oh, here we go, difficult year. And now what we saw against Notre Dame into the sixth game, you know, quite impressive. I mean, what they're doing against the run, what they're doing against the pass, you know, they've gone from a team that like, man, I don't know if they're gonna be able to get a sack much all year long, to where now you've got Ashton Gelati's one of the nation's leaders. You know, what they did against Notre Dame, you know, they come into the game only giving up six sacks, you know, the entire season, and then they give up five to Louisville. So the adjustments that we've seen, you know, in schemes and alignments that Jeff Brohm and the defensive staff have been able to put together through six has been impressive, because they're clearly, we've heard, hey, we want to put guys in position to succeed, and they've clearly made some adjustments as the season has progressed, and those guys are certainly succeeding now.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And, you know, what Jawar Jordan has done, what Ashton Gelati has done on the defensive side of things, there's been some individual standouts, Michael. But yep. The one thing that I like more than anything is, well, I like 41-0 in the first quarter. I love that, by the way. But the one thing that I like more than anything is that there's been guys, Mason Reiger last week, you know, at one point or another, Cam Wilson's made some big plays on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I mean, it's been different guys and some guys that maybe you don't expect. Yeah, some guys that you don't expect that have stepped up and made big plays. So that's exciting and all that. I do think Pittsburgh's a trap game. I do think that Louisville's going to have to come out and kind of, you know, don't be shocked if they don't get off to a great start. I hope they do and all that, but don't be shocked if they get off to a great start. But because of a little bit of a hangover from last week, I think it's a trap game, and I think they're going to have to be really focused.
I agree. Louisville currently a 7.5-point favorite, the over-under sitting at 45.5, but I'm there with you, and especially when you start messing in with the ugly weather, that can create turnovers, you know, impact play, and it's kind of the field leveling aspect. You know, so Louisville's got to come in and play, you know, one of their best games of the ball of the season, because, you know, Pittsburgh's coming in looking to play their best ball of the year, and they've always got a tough defense. You know, if you look at things just on the surface, Jody, it looks kind of easy. I mean, offensively, total offense, Louisville's number 20 in the country. Total defense, though, Pittsburgh also number 20 in the country. So there's the clash right there. But when you dig a little deeper, Louisville's defense is top 25 in the country. Pitt's offense is nowhere near number 122 nationally. So if Louisville's defense can come in and do what it does, and the offense is able to hold on to the ball, don't turn it over, and continue to grind out yards, I think they get this game. But certainly the Panthers are going to be coming and aiming for the Cardinals. Obviously, they're off to a much more disappointing season than they anticipated. They expect to be like a top 25 program, and now they're just trying to find a way to ring up some wins to become more respectable. So certainly a tough game as Louisville heads up to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and they're trying to get a little bit of a spark with their they're trying to have a little bit of a spark with their quarterback change. So it'll be interesting to see what that does and how that does. You know, Phil Jurkovec is a guy that's been around and he's played some ball. So it'll be very interesting to me to see just how that plays out. I think Louisville, like I said, I think Louisville will win the game. I do think it's going to be really tough. I really do. And this is a big one, because after this one, if you can go 7-0 in this and then you get a week, you get the extra week in between the Duke game. And then you've got Virginia and Virginia Tech in back-to-back weeks coming up after that. So it's really setting up kind of like we've talked about, Michael. I don't know that any of us thought undefeated would be in the grand scheme of things, but it is, and they still are, and that's what's been fun to see, and so it's good. Now undefeated, even after tonight, the basketball team's going to be undefeated. It's a red white scrimmage, so somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose, but they're still going to be undefeated. I'm really excited to see and figure out how what is going to be different. I'm excited to see the new people. You need a program if you go tonight, because there's so many new guys. But I'm excited. I'm really excited. I've heard some good things. Look, we all saw Trey White was a sensational player last year as a freshman at USC. He's going to be one of the better players. He's going to be one of the better players in the ACC, in my opinion. I'm really excited though to see just how many of these other guys or how they contribute, Michael. How are they going to contribute and what are they going to do in moving forward? These next few weeks, and I know people say the schedule's not all that great, and it's not. The schedule is pretty easy early on, but the next 6 weeks to me are huge 6 weeks in the whole grand scheme of things of the Louisville basketball program, just to see the direction. You know, you had a good story from Josh and heard from the tip-off luncheon, giving his full support to Kenny Payne. It's a long season, but how this team starts because of how they played and finished last year, I think is going to tell us everything about this team.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of, you know, curious things to watch tonight, you know, and as the season begins to unfold with early season games. I mean, we've heard a lot about Sky Clark and how impactful he can be. Really looking forward to seeing how he performs on the floor in the red white scrimmage. You mentioned Trey White, same as well. Obviously he's got to have a huge season for Louisville, but you know, I'm curious to see the guys that did return, you know, Okafor and Trainer and Mike James and Huntley Hatfield, if I could speak here, you know, how much of those guys taking the next step, how much of a difference does having Trey White and Sky Clark, guys that have contributed at a high level that have higher expectations for themselves, how much are they impacting the growth of the returning veterans? So, you know, how much do they all mesh together? Obviously, when you're coming off as dismal a season as it was last year, you basically rebuild your roster, at least half of it. You know, it's you know, I don't know what to expect this year. Maybe that's the best way to come into it, is just maybe with low expectations and then see if they can surprise you every game out. But it starts tonight with a red-white game. Want to see how well. You know, we heard Mike James say, hey, this might be the tightest, the closest team he's ever been on, and says that's going to be evident when they get on the floor in the way they play, their team chemistry. So looking for those kind of intangibles and to see how much different it might be, the X factors from what we saw last year to this year, and then how will that translate into them playing together, putting points on the board and potentially W's, because certainly need a heck of a lot more W's than they got last year.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road, any road, the steeper the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole thing you know, how do they play together? How have the guys improved? You know, I've heard things about good things about Mike James and what he has done. You know, I thought, you know, at times last year, you know, Mike James looked like he was ready to kind of break out. And it just, you know, things we don't need to rehash last year. Everybody knows exactly what happened and how it happened. But at times Mike looked like he was ready for that. And, you know, from what I understand, he's taken that in the off season and has really worked hard. I know he looks. I saw him at the football game the other night. He looks bigger, or stronger, I should say. He doesn't look much bigger. He looks stronger than what he did. I think the key of this whole season might end up being Brandon Huntley Hatfield and how does he play? How does he, you know, because if Sky Clark is what Sky Clark is, what we think Sky Clark is or have been told he is, which there's no reason to suggest that he isn't. Sky Clark, look, back when Sky was a sophomore and junior in high school, he was one of the better players that I've ever seen at that age. You know what I mean? And so I think that, you know, when, you know, you've got Sky, you've got Trey, you've got Mike, you've got some pieces. I do think that Brandon Huntley Hatfield ends up, and we've got plenty of time between now and in November 6th when they start. But I think Brandon Huntley Hatfield ends up being the probably the most important guy as far as how this season goes, because he gives you a little bit of a difference maker and a guy that can do a number of different things. And if he has to play better than he did last year, I mean, he was just so inconsistent. Like, at times he wasn't even on the floor. And then at times he was like really good. So he's the biggest key to me. So, but a lot of the newcomers, I'm excited to see the newcomers. I've heard good things. I do think Curtis Williams is going to help this year. I think he's going to have to be a guy that gets out there and help. I think Caleb Glenn's going to be a really good player. I don't know, you know, his major impact early. I think he gets better as he gets more kind of involved in the system and all that. So, but it's going to be fun. It'll be interesting. And it starts tonight with the red white scrimmage. You can go check it out. We'll have complete coverage for it. And then the scrimmage is right around the corner. The exhibition, I guess, you know, is right around the corner. The first of two exhibitions, and then November 6th is when they get started. So I'm excited.
Yeah, you know, and also I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, some of the guys were wanting to see what they can do. Caron Davis, you know, the 6'8 guard on the roster. Tylar Johnson just got his eligibility announced. You know, how will those two be able to help the Louisville backcourt? You know, obviously from key roster and depth spots. So a lot to look forward to, you know, to kind of scout and see what happens tonight in the red-white game. And we'll start figuring it out as the season progresses. And it should be an interesting, whatever happens, it's going to be an interesting season on the basketball floor. That's for sure.
Yeah, and Michael, this is the first time the first time I can really ever remember that you don't know really what I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I know who they've got. I know the players, but there's so many new guys. It's kind of like you just don't know what to expect, and And like I said, I just think the next few weeks are going to be very interesting in that. So for the women's basketball, the next few weeks, the past few weeks have been interesting, and the next few weeks are also going to be the same as Coach Walls and his staff. They took a little trip to the Virgin Islands. And they did this kind of a community kind of build bond, a little bonding trip, I guess you would call it. And they've gotten two commitments in the last couple of weeks. They've got three now in the class of 2024. Taj Roberts is the latest. She's from California, the number 25 player in the 2024 class. She goes to IMG Academy now, and she picked Louisville over Kentucky, Duke, California, and Virginia Tech. They also have a commitment from Isla Jofferson, who is an Australian post player. That was just a couple of weeks ago. And then back earlier in the spring, Detroit forward Anaya Hardy, also a commitment in this class. And I do expect more. Coach Walls is still going to use the transfer portal. I mean, a major they're not going to abandon that transfer portal. It's going to be something they do now from now on, because they've had so much success in it. But this team coming up in next year, this team this year is so transfer heavy, and you're going to lose a lot of players off this team. So moving forward, you not only have to get some transfers, but you got to load up in the freshman class. They've got three. I expect one more soon to be added to the list, and then I think that they would take at least one more. So definitely will be four signing in from what I understand, four signing in November. But it wouldn't surprise me if there would be five. They've had a bunch of players make visits over the course of the last few months. And Kennedy Smith, Janessa Cotton, Adele Tyke, Azalea Arenas, Gilbert Arenas' daughter. Those are all ranked in the top 100. Danielle Carnegie is the top 50 player. And then Sarah Strong is the number one player in the class. And then Jelani Cambridge is a player who I spoke with a couple times this summer, who loves Louisville. She's the number three player in the country, and she's going to visit here soon. So they've got a lot of potential for this class, and they're not done yet.
Yeah, Jeff Walls, you throw in the transfer portal, and roster management is totally different these days, and he seems like he's doing a fantastic job. I know, if I'm a little selfish, I've seen Sarah Strong play a few times and wouldn't mind seeing her in red and black. She can obviously get it done, but yeah, impressive what he's doing on the recruiting trail again, and it's just kind of Jeff Walls got the program basically to where they're just reloading.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. So that's a good deal. So, well, Michael, we got a lot to talk to. We'll have all this covered at CardinalAuthority.com. We'll be back with a game day edition in just a couple days. It's going to be an ugly game day edition, I think, because it's going to be nasty in Pittsburgh this weekend.
For a sideline reporter.
Yeah, no, it's not a good. I'd rather. This is the first week. We've had such good weather for the last couple of years, really, if you think about it, for football. But you know what? You got to live it. You got to do it every now and then. And it looks like this week is going to be nasty. But you know what? The Cards are 6-0, and they can move to 7-0. So that would make it all worthwhile this week as well.
Yep, 7.5-point favorites. 45.5 is the over/under. Cards just need to go out and take care of business and play clean football. And I think they come out of there 7-0.
All right. For Michael McCammon, I'm Jody Demling. This has been a our weekly Cards Cast here at CardinalAuthority.com.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball. And baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.